Okay, we have coaches Joey Carroll and Sheena Carroll here with us from the indoor track team. You guys just got back from the state tournament. Do you want to mention any of the highlights from the season? Just kind of go over some of the highlights for the season.
I think, you know, definitely going into this season, you know, you have a game plan going in. And sometimes you meet obstacles that can sometimes you have to overcome. And it was a very non-traditional indoor season. You know, we had, I think, you know, several, of course, when you have indoor around this area, there's very limited places to do, to go to meets. So you have your choice between, you know, Liberty, Roanoke, and then you have the new Tryon International in Mill Springs, North Carolina. So, you know, the weather really played a factor this year with getting to some of those meets. So as coaches, you kind of panic a little bit with, you know, not getting to compete as much as you would like to. But I think the thing that kept us locked in and engaged is just the practices. You know, we made sure that, you know, if we couldn't go to the meets due to weather, that we would get in some good practices. You know, we would keep the kids engaged as much as possible. You know, we'd keep them in that mode of being competitive and hungry. And then when it was time, you know, I think the big stage, you know, as far as going to region, you know, they really showed out on both the boys and girls side. And then I think that kind of transitioned over to the state meet. So just kind of seeing those kids kind of work through adversity, kind of thinking outside the box of, you know, if we can't be competitive like we wanted to be in the meets, how can we find other avenues to keep that hunger to be competitive and to keep them engaged mentally and physically. So just hats off to those kids for trusting the process and for getting the job done when it counted at the state meet.
And that's where indoor track, there's a couple things, like you said, that's different about indoor track and it being an odd season is that sometimes you have to have what they call polar bear meets, which are actually indoor track meets that are outside where, you know, people say, well, how do you have an indoor track meet outside? But I don't think they understand. You might want to, you know, can you explain the fact about the how the events stay the same, but the difference in the outside versus inside?
Yeah, she's pointing me on this one. So.
This one.
I mean, one thing I'll add to the previous question or kind of comment is I just thought that, and it's been kind of this way the past few years, but really to me, more so this year, just the team atmosphere, both sides, boys and girls, that it was just clearly a team event. And from the, it's really cool to see from a coach's perspective when that kind of starts gelling together. And I know that, you know, you understand.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that it was a really kind of a what's the word I'm looking for? A precipice, kind of a it all came together at the right time as far as the team atmosphere goes. But and then you know the big thing about the polar bears, it's a 400 meter track outside of 200 meter most traditional indoors are 200 meters banked or unbanked, and some are different. Roanoke's not banked, the state meet is. Mm-hmm. So the outdoor tracks are 400 meters, so the markings are different spots, you know, to do the 55, it's halfway up the 100 meter straightaway, and so you have to put separate hurdle marks down, and so nothing's really, there's nothing, like she said, there's nothing traditional about it, so it's different, it's, you know, then you kind of get into, well, the 500 is 2.5 laps, well, on an outdoor track, it's 1.25, and
right.
You know, so there can just be some confusion. So you've got to have plans going in. And
we saw that at the region meet where a girl quit after 1.25.
Well, and last year at the state meet with us last year in the 3,200, the girl from Radford, you know, stopped a lap early. And it's just the indoor lap count can get kind of crazy. So
Yeah, when you're going from 8 laps to 16.
Yes.
And even on some of these indoor tracks, I don't know if some of the ones you guys compete on or not. Some of them, I know some of the ones we officiate at, they're like 1 point, you know, like 137 meters or something. So, I mean, even it's
Heritage
not even
High
exact
School,
laps.
Heritage High School up in Lynchburg is like that.
So that can get confusing. I've seen lap counters have to run from spot to spot.
You've got relay legs that start at different
right.
Different corners. They're running, you know, and it's not a not a DMR or a sprint medley. It's because 4x2, but it's start different spots.
Most of the newer tracks are 200 meters, either flat or banked, like you said. And we're talking about banked. Some of them are banked. They're fixed banked, and some of them are the new hydraulic,
right?
Like the one at Liberty where you run a state meet. They can lay it down flat for the straight events like the 55, and they can raise it, bank it up for the curved lanes, which does make a difference when the runners are out there running. But you guys also, you know, explain a little bit of a difference between track, or this track, indoor, outdoor, cross country, about scheduling meets versus, you know, basketball or baseball. You know, like they have to go to the district. You know, kind of explain a little bit about that, how you guys pick where you go as far as to get better competition.
So we definitely plan. We make sure that we, you know, hit meets anywhere that we're going to have a region or we're going to have the state meet, especially for indoor. You know, we definitely wanted to make sure we highlighted a meet at Liberty. So we went to the Walter Bass Invitational. And then we went to Roanoke, one meet, because that's where our region meet was held. So, you know, definitely just getting those kids used to that environment, used to the track. For our field event kids, getting used to the pits, you know, with triple and long, and even high jump, you know, high jump. It's crazy to see the difference even in high jump from indoor to outdoor. You know, just getting them used to that. And being acquainted with those environments. Same thing with our throwers, just making sure they're acquainted with the ring there, being comfortable throwing there.
I think, with the high jump, the angles with the indoor, you know, there's walls, mm-hmm. and so the angles can kind of play tricks on the entry coming into the takeoff and all that. And so just kind of it's very interesting to look at it from that perspective.
And same thing like we were talking about with indoor, some of the indoor – throwing pads are on wood that mm-hmm. can be moved versus concrete for outdoor.
Right. I think also to add on what she was saying, you were talking about the 200 meter banked tracks. And so it's crazy. But if you've never sprinted on one of those, if you're in lanes 4, 5, or 6, you know, you have to kind of go uphill.
Yes.
To get to the top of the bank, and then you kind of shoots you back down. And so we've seen, I know we saw it when I was in high school, and we've seen it in just many falls going up the hill. And mm-hmm. and so to be able to navigate through that is something. Also, that's something different than why we wanted to make sure we go to a meet at Liberty before the state meet.
Right. And something that you guys do that you've not mentioned is you take these kids to, like, the national meet, which puts them up against better competition. How do you think that prepares them for coming back the following season for like a region or a state meet?
I think at a, you know, definitely on a bigger stage, you know, these kids are just more than ever just mentally prepared. I think there's a little more of a confidence going into a bigger meet to know, as far as pressure, they know how to handle pressure, I think, better. I think they know how to handle themselves a little better. You know, there's going to be anxiousness, they're going to be nervous, but I think they're able to handle that a lot better because of the competition that they, because they see, you know, for example, they see, you know, Quincy Wilson, a phenomenal 400 runner. Mm-hmm. You know, they're competing with them. They're competing with Bullis High School, you know, some of the top, you know, ranked high schools, you know, in the nation. And I just feel like it gives them that boost of confidence to know that they're there on that big stage with them competing. And we have come away with, you know, several, you know, All-Americans. A lot of these kids, you know, walk away with personal PRs, career best. So it's pretty awesome to see, you know, that if they can compete at that stage, you know, in that big of a stage, that hopefully, you know, when they get to the state meet, you know, they're kind of pros of when they walk in and they know what to expect.
And when you mentioned Quincy Wilson, for people around here that don't know Quincy Wilson, he is a high school 400 meter runner that goes to a high school. He's in high school in Maryland, but he has broken 2 world records in the 18 and under and the 20 under. When he races, he beats Olympians, gold medalists, and he competed at the Olympics on the men's 4x4 relay team just a couple years ago. So that's who your kids are running against. Is, you know, he's an Olympic gold medalist.
Exactly. To kind of piggyback off what she was saying and what you're saying there, our goal And we never want to minimize the state championship track meet and what it means, and because it is, that's the ultimate prize for our high school teams. However, we talk about we're okay if our kids walk in there and it's not nearly the biggest meet they've been to. Mm-hmm. And so that pressure is kind of not nearly as much as what it would be if this was the biggest meet they've been to. And right. So that's kind of the goal with some of those.
And that's sort of what I was getting at when I talked about the national meet, is that, you know, these kids have been to, like you said, a big meet, and then they come into the state meet, and you still want them to be hopped up about it, but you don't want them to be scared to death.
And they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, our kids are – everything lead – all roads lead to that state meet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think, too, you know, the whole thing is, you know, we've got a lot of talented kids, you know, on this team and going into this state meet this year. I think I've said it a couple times that, you know, there's one thing to be good, and then there's another thing to show up.
Yes.
And, you know, our kids, for those 2 days on both sides, both boys and girls programs, they showed up.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit, like, when people at home are watching these meets live on live results, following the meet and seeing how the kids are performing, they see things like SR, PR. Do you want to explain a little bit about what those are and how they're important?
Yeah, so a lot of times you see SB to be a season best. PR is a personal record. So, for example, if you're in your indoor season, and just give a prime example, 55 hurdles. If, you know, a kid went for a female, you know, if they went 9.47, you know, last year, and then this year, they hadn't quite hit that yet, but they went, let's just say, they went 9.39
right.
This year, then that would be a PR. That would be a personal record set. A season best would be in that season, for indoor or outdoor.
Right.
So we talk about with our kids a lot. If a kid, you know, and if they've run 11 flat in 100,
mm-hmm.
For a girl, 7.60 in the 55.
Right.
Then, you know, the next year, or even the next meet, it's very hard to not compare yourself to your best performance all the time. And so the season best kind of gives you, hopefully it gives them a little bit of grace for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, this is where we started this season, the season best from last meet, and we got better,
mm-hmm.
and just try to continue. Because you can't, it's impossible to mm-hmm. get better every meet.
Yes.
Because world records would get broken every day,
right.
every time there's a track meet, and it's just impossible. And so perspective, and Sheena does mm-hmm. a great job. Coach Carroll does a great job of talking to the kids about, you know, let's give yourself a little grace. You know, make sure that we know we're working through some things. We're training through some of these meets. And so to hit a PR would be crazy if you did that. And sometimes mm-hmm. we don't want them to hit PRs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because then, you know, we've still got 6 weeks left in the season, and you hit a PR, well, leaves not a lot of room for growth. So. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I was getting ready to ask about was a lot of people think that track or cross country, whatever, that the kids just get out there and run.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to explain a little bit about how the training for these works and how you have to kind of play the mental games with them sometimes to get them to either peak or not peak at the right time, or so they don't peak too early or things like that, the training and stuff, that it's not just running.
I can talk about sprinter jumpers.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'm a big Notre Dame fan, and Coach Freeman, you know, had talked about delayed gratification. And I think sometimes, you know, with talking about, you know, in a certain event group would, you know, be the distance runners, I think there's that time to optimize, you know, your training and to trust your process that, you know, you may not hit the times that we want early in the season, but if you trust the process, you trust your training, you have that delayed gratification at the end where you hit, you know, the time that you have been wanting to hit for a while. A lot of it goes into, you know, with speed work, it goes into making sure that, you know, we do everything we need to do in the beginning before we hit that top end speed. I think it's just all about trusting the process, trusting your training. We make sure that we set our kids up for the state meet is the big stage for them.
Right.
And, you know, we just talk about also just mentally staying in it and not staying stuck in a mindset. If you have one meet that doesn't go as well, not to stay in that time frame, but to make sure that you move on from it. And we just build on things. If there's things, there may be a race or there may be an event, a jumping or hurdling or whatever they're doing or throwing. If, you know, they don't have the best meet, we always try to make sure they take away something positive from it. We always, there's always things that we can work on, but I think building on what they're already doing right and then just tweaking those little things is the biggest thing with their training.
Yeah, and it's not always going out there every day to jump your farthest every day or to run your fastest every day. You've got the difference between quantity and quality, and you're working with both of those in mixture, and it's not always about being, you know, in practice running your fastest every single day. Sometimes you've got to build the bases and all that stuff.
I think, you know, even the 55-meter dash, which is an extremely short event.
Yes.
You know, front end part of it, the middle and the back end, whether it be the 55, the jumps on the runways. We were talking about it last night, and we talked about it with the kids a little bit today.
Right.
Basically, with the sprinting, the training is just kind of the first, to make it simple, we'll just go in thirds. The first third, you kind of want to, you think about uphill. The middle third is kind of flat surface, and then the last third is overspeed, kind of downhill. And that's not necessarily what we do, but resistance uphill, flat, kind of with the wind, no assistance, and then assistance the last third, and so the overspeed. But it's just kind of, you know, and as soon as you start hitting that overspeed, you're going to start seeing big PRs. And so you really want to do it. If you see a kid struggling, you really want to do it, but you just know we can't, because we got to set them up for the end of the season. And so
and sometimes they beg you, like, what's wrong with me? Why am I not improving?
Yeah, and, you know, I think also, too, it's just, you know, the part of being how you practice is how you compete. You know, so especially on those hard days, you know, pushing through it instead of fighting it, being able to work through it. So when we get, you know, to those meets, they know how to handle being uncomfortable. You know, what we say, you know, being comfortable with being uncomfortable. You know, the other thing is, you know, when, especially, you know, when we're doing high jump practice, you know, they just want to keep raising the bar. So they'll, you know, for example, if our girls, you know, will clear 4.8, they want to go to 4.10. And then it's like if they clear 4.10, you know, they want to go to 5 feet. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times,
keep working on some technical things.
Yes.
Instead of just the bar going up.
Yeah. You know, we get to the point where, you know, we don't want to be jumping our PRs at practice. We want to use that time to be more technical and to work on those things.
Yeah. It's in, you know, the form and the technique and the efficiency, you know, just being able to run efficient so you're not wasting movement and energy. So everything is going forward in the right direction. You know, that, getting them to understand that. And what makes it even worse is when they're going to a regular season meet and they get beat by one of their big competitors. And they're like, why am I getting beat by them? You know, last year I was beating so-and-so. And having to explain to them, you know, just to be patient, that's always hard.
Yeah, I mean, and throwing any shade or anything like that toward anybody else, but sometimes it's just, well, they're not doing the same program we're doing,
right
or wrong. It doesn't, you know, I'm not saying that, but this is where we are in our, inside of our program and our training, and it may not lend it to a, it may not be a fast time right now. It's just, you know, we're working on other things where maybe their legs are a little dead because we trained through this week or things like that. But 100%, it's very hard. The mental aspect of this sport is very, very tough.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, to give prime example, you know, just based upon the performance list coming into the state meet, you know, we saw a lot of good performances early out of the jumps, you know, out of the sprints, out of the distance. And, you know, to look on the performance list where we were, you know, was kind of, you know, our kids were like, well, what's going on? But then we had to kind of set them back down and say, hey, this is, again, trust in the process. This is where we're at in our training. This is where we're setting you up. And then come the state meet, we had several kids that were PRing and were getting those top times that now if you look at the performance list, our kids are at the top of that performance list.
Their kids just, they didn't really have enough meets to hit big.
Yeah.
No.
You know, and so it was really trying to time that out just right. And like she said, some people may not realize this, but going off the performance list, our girls were, if you just go straight performance list, I think the girls finished fourth and the guys finished maybe sixth, maybe eighth, somewhere in there. And so again, a testament just to trusting the training, what she talks about all the time, trust the training, trust the process. We hit the marks when our kids hit the marks when they needed to hit them.
Right. Okay, so thinking back to this season, what's some of your favorite milestones?
Man.
you can go first.
Gosh. You don't want to.
You won a region championship. You won a state championship. Yes. Boys were runner-ups. So, but then you've got those other meets too. So
I guess starting obviously from kind of the state meet, to me, and I don't want to steal something she's going to say, but she maybe elaborate on what I say. But two part kind of we were close, but kind of fighting her, grabbing her when we realized it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, track people were numbers, and so we knew what had to happen. It happened. You go back and check it again, and you check it again, and you check it the third time, and then you look at each other, and you're like, okay, it's officially, like, we can't be tied or beaten. And so, and just the emotions that kind of came out, and that was really just kind of the way that race played itself out. And the points being scored all day and the 2 days is what led up to it. It's not just one, but we knew going into that girls' 1,000, if we had six, we couldn't be beaten.
Yeah,
we could be tied, but we couldn't be beaten. And then when Allie finished third to score six, and then Candace got in at eighth and got another point, that was seven. It's over.
Right.
And so, to me, huge there. And then if I'll let you talk about the boys 4x4.
Yeah. Because
that was, I mean, wow.
And what you're talking about is going into those last couple of events at the state meet. I know I was watching from home live results, and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, they're getting to the point now where – especially going into the 4x4.
People running out of the mitts.
You know, going into 4x4, we're ahead by 10.5 points, and the most anybody can score is 10 points, you know. That little being able to relax a little bit.
Yeah, that the 4x4 with the guys, you know, three out of those four guys on that relay team, you know, had just ran the 1,000.
And
Lester had just ran the 5. Lester had a PR in the 5. Elijah.
To get 8.
To get 8.
Huge point there.
Yeah. Elijah had a career PR in the 1,000, broke the school record. Colin and John hit a PR.
And John would have been really close to breaking the school record in that
1,000. So he was, you know, he got eighth place. So those guys, you know, they were, I mean, they hammered out, you know, the 1,000. So they were pretty dead-legged. And but they knew, like, you know, 4x4, they were still going to give it everything they had. So, you know, we went over and we talked to them and we said, hey, this is what you're going to have to do.
It was the scenario. Yeah.
And it was almost like just everything that no matter how bad they were hurting, no matter what they were feeling, it didn't matter at that moment. All that mattered was hammering down that 4x4 and doing what they needed to get done. Mm-hmm. And they went out and they got it done. Elijah hit it off into that first leg. And then it just kind of, you know, carried from there, and there was no stopping them. I mean, they, fully engaged in it, knew what they had to do, understood the assignment, and they got it done.
But I will say just one more thing, and I'm going to speak for the both of us.
Right.
I try not to do that too much, but probably the number one memory, the most favorite moment was just at the end of the state meet, just seeing the looks on the kids' faces, being happy for each other, the girls for the boys for the girls within the team, you know, and just the – seeing that the season, even though it was crazy, things kind of paid off in the end, and just seeing the I don't know, the gratitude or the
I just think that, you know, these kids believed in themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, as coaches, we believe in them and we tell them that all the time, but instead of just saying it, they believed it.
Yes.
And just to see them, you know, when they called their name out there, you know, the guys went first, they announced the guys, and then for the girls to come along, and then you have this big group picture, and you see these kids, it's just an amazing feeling for them. Mm-hmm. And just, it really does say the hard work that they've put in, they've believed in it, they've bought into it, and they're having the success.
And that comes from you guys. You know, not just when you tell them that you believe in them, they have to believe that you believe that. And they see that from you guys. They know that you believe in them. or they wouldn't believe in themselves. Right. So it comes from you all as the leaders of the team, handing that down to them, especially for your seniors that have been here, you know, for the for the 4 years, and have gotten, you know, they know that you guys believe in them. They know you're not just saying that.
Right, and I mean, you know, all I say to that is, it's easy to believe in kids when the kids like the ones we have.
So, I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But you've also got kids. I mean, you believe in all of them, though.
And we understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And we appreciate
that. I know
what
you're saying. Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, man, we've got great kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's just the relationships that we've developed with them. I mean, you know, our whole philosophy is, you know, they're an individual first.
Mm-hmm.
And then the athlete part is awesome. But we also, you know, we understand that there's things outside of track and field. And so we make sure that we, you know, if they're having a bad day, that we check in with them.
Right.
To see, because they are, they're an individual first, and then they're an athlete to it, you know, to us. But mm-hmm. But they are. They're a great, great group of kids. The seniors have, you know, kind of held that torch for the past 4 years. We've got a lot of great young ones coming up that I think they can hand that torch off to keep carrying that tradition on. But yeah, they're an awesome group
of
kids.
That winning thing, it's contagious. Too,
yeah.
You know?
Yep.
We hope it really catches.
Mm-hmm. And just to sort of wrap up here, you want to talk about your seniors just a little bit? Some of the accomplishments and the kids individually?
Some of the ones we have here, you know, for sure. Connor Early. You know, just individually to just finally see him get one, a state championship. Last year was – really felt like last year was his to get in indoor,
right.
and then also outdoor, but it just, you know, track's a funny thing. And track and field, and it just sometimes it didn't work out the way you want it to. And so to see him get that and set the state meet record and to just kind of the crescendo, that's the word I was looking for earlier.
Yeah.
To see that kind of all come together. And so hoping that, you know, outdoor maybe I'm hoping that he can maybe relax and really perform and really, you know, sky's the limit with what he can do
in the
jumping events, and then maybe not throw him in some hurdles, and she's kind of excited about that. So you could go ahead and we'll kind of –
Yeah, and then, you know, just kind of going off of that, you know, for our females, you know, Bailey and Savannah, you know, Julia, Addie Carter, you know, those girls, we came in with those girls, and just to see not just the role that they play as, you know, track and field athletes, but just the leadership, the strong female stance that they not just project on our team, but in the school, in the, you know, in our community. They are a great group of girls that I think are great role models for our younger girls. And I think that's kind of rubbed off, you know, on those younger girls. And they know what to expect, and they know what is expected of them coming up next year when that senior class, you know, graduates. Those girls will be missed. They have really... again, they've become like family to us. You know, Connor the same way. He, you know, these kids, I mean, we love these kids,
right.
And they really have become a part of our lives. And, you know, we still want to keep up with them, you know, once they graduate. You know, Cassidy Hammonds, you know, she was just at the track, you know, running before we got here. You know, we try to keep up with her college career. And, you know, these kids really have made a statement.
Right.
I think, you know, they're going to leave, hopefully, these 4 years seeing everything that they've accomplished. They've made school history. They have revived a tradition that has been at Lehigh with the track and field program. And they can always have that.
Yeah.
Even when they come back for the reunions, they will always have that. And I think that's, you know, with what Joey was saying, Mr. Coach Carroll, was that just – that family dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a girls team and there's not a guys team. They
right.
have come together. They cheer for each other. They love each other. I think they would do anything for one another. So I think that's the most important thing, is that, you know, they have that team aspect that they share, that these seniors, that strong bond.
Yep.
You know, John had a big meet.
Yes.
So, I mean, just a couple things. And you know from your coaching, you know,
right.
that so and also indoor PR and outdoor PR is also a thing, and because it's just different,
right?
And so, but we had some overall PRs, mm-hmm. but man, to have the number of PRs, whether it be indoor PR or overall season best, personal best, at the state track meet, at the state championship, at mm-hmm. the one that means everything, mm-hmm. it's just unheard of. And so, you know, Addie had a huge throw mm-hmm. in the shot yeah. put. It kind of like, you know, we had sort of hit had hit some rocks, you know, some bumps in the road, and mm-hmm. and Addie just kind of like gave us mm-hmm. a bump back with those girls. And so, you know, in the long jumps, Savannah and Bailey both hit huge mm-hmm. jumps.
Right.
Yeah, John. You know, John was, you know, he was that anchor leg on the 4x8. They got second in state. You know, coming in as a senior, you know, he was all state in, you know, all the events that he came in. You know, 4x8. 1,000, 4x4. So, again, like all these seniors, Logan Lester, you know, he was huge for us in the 500. You know, it's crazy.
4x4.
Yeah, so what's crazy with him is, you know, he kind of came into the season as a 300 guy because he does the 300 hurdles outdoor.
Right.
So, you know, we kind of proposed this about the 500, you know, pretty good 400 runner, pretty good leg of a 4x4. Let's, you know, throw him in the region. You know, he did enough to qualify for the region, and then he gets to the state meet. You know, he squeaks in there, gets eighth place, has a huge PR. He's our anchor leg on that 4x4, kind of,
and in that,
yeah,
4x4,
seals that deal.
You know, the guys weren't in the fast heat.
Right.
And so, you know, they got out front, and I think the early legs did a great job getting us kind of out front. And then, so, you know, Logan, he's out there by himself, and he's run strictly against the clock because we had to beat, I think, two teams in the fast mm-hmm. heat in order to finish fifth, which guarantees second place overall as a team. And
right.
and so for him to be able to do that, especially on dead legs, those guys yeah. did a great job getting him the baton in the position he was in.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was sort of out there in what some call no man's land by right. himself and mm-hmm. ran probably the fastest split he's run, or one of the fastest splits yeah. he's run all year with those 500 legs. So that was extremely impressive.
Yeah, I mean, we could go on and on for those past 2 days of the state meet. You know, I guess the other thing just to mention is the girls 4x2. You know, two of our seniors, that were on that 4x2. Again, we were in what we considered the slow heat.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely knew they were running against the clock. They had to execute everything perfectly, you know, handoffs. And even with that.
First time that team had run all year.
Yeah.
Right.
So there was a little bit of wobbles with the handoffs, but they kept their composure. They trusted each other. They trusted themselves, and they got the job done. So it was just exciting mm-hmm. to see them absolutely, you know, do what they had to do in that 4x2, and especially out of coming out of the slow heat
right.
and winning it. And then again, just
one more and I'm done.
And just with Addie,
go ahead.
You know, she, her first throw, you know, wasn't her best.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just kind of see, I think the nerves were just kind of getting to her. And then it was like, she knew at that moment, this is my senior year. I've got to lay it all out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, she just kind of got together and went out there, hit a monster, and then it was just kind of, you could just see just the excitement
right.
that she was able to do what she needed to do at her last indoor senior meet.
Some may view this differently, but to me, huge. They won, and with the exchange between Alyssa and Kelsey
yeah.
in the 4x8, the baton got dropped,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just to hold it together, no panic, do what you got to do, pick it back up legally, get back in the race,
yeah.
and to still finish strong yeah. the way they did, I mean, that just says
well, and I think, you know, Coach Elkins, it goes back to what the original question earlier that you had asked us about preparation
right.
and how we, you know, the biggest thing that we talk about with relays, that's a huge thing, is, you know, one, getting out, not mm-hmm. just standing there, but getting out,
yeah.
but also if something were to happen with that baton, don't lose your composure.
Mm-hmm.
Stay calm. You can still get it. You can still get the job done. But I think that goes a lot into it, too, with relays, just how important execution-wise and just keeping your composure and trusting yourself and trusting your teammates to get the job done in those relays.
There's so many kids that, even at the state level, that aren't taught that. They think that once
we were
you drop
asked
that
over
baton,
and over and over, they thought, are you guys DQ'd because you dropped it?
Yeah.
No.
They think
yeah.
it's either a DQ because you dropped it, or if you dropped it, it doesn't do any good to pick it up because
mm-hmm.
you're so
yeah.
far behind, you're not going to be able to do anything. And to, you know, even at the state level, there's so many kids that think that.
Right.
So just the mental preparation, like you said, to get them ready to know, to keep that composure. So any final words you want to say about the team overall or season or?
You know, just super proud of these kids. We're excited to see, you know, how they transition and what, you know, they can do in the outdoor season. I think we have about 50 kids between boys and girls come out for the outdoor season. So, you know, for a lot of those newcomers, I think they're excited to be a part of the program and to be able to contribute and to be able to bring their talents to the team. We're super excited. We want to savor these moments because we know this is our final round with these seniors. So we really want to just make sure we take it all in and just, you know, just really, I don't want to get emotional, but just really take it all in with these with these senior kids.
I think what I was going to say is perfectly leading what she said there was in the track and field world, it's, you know, even with her, especially cross country, indoor, outdoor, they kind of go together. Indoor, outdoor, they really go together, but kind of one book closes, another one opens. And so, but, you know, we'll never get another indoor season with these seniors. Right. And so, you know, we still have 3 months with them, but man, we're going to miss them. You know, and so indoor is over, you know, but we track and field's not, but it, you know, it's just kind of a different dynamic, but we're definitely going to, there's some kids that we won't get to coach in indoor ever again, and we're going to miss those kids.
And y'all talk about the family atmosphere and the way the kids, come together. What a lot of people don't understand is that, like basketball, baseball, football, whatever, you have out-of-season training. But with track and cross country, you're never really out of season because, like you just said, it goes from one season to the other. So, you know, you do spend time with them out of season in some of these other sports. But when you're spending time with them trying to teach them how to compete, it's totally different. And you do grow a stronger attachment to those same kids, especially the ones that do cross country, indoor and outdoor. And you go to the and you travel to these places like you're talking about to get the better competition and the national meets and stuff and just spending time with them and learning their families as well. The parents, a lot of times, you learn them also, and it does become like a family.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, we feel the dinners, man, the meals, it's almost like family dinner, you know, after meets.
And there's one other senior, Chase Weston. Just a little backstory on him. He was on that 4x8 team. And of course, the way we do relays is, you know, we give every kid an opportunity to run, you know, the best relay. So we're, you know, we're going to take the best four kids. And, you know, Chase, all season long, you know, we knew a time that he needed to hit in order, you know, to kind of be on that 4x8 team to get the time that we needed. And he absolutely worked his butt off. And he had a huge PR. I think it was like 2:13. That he hit on that 4x8, which was, you know, huge for him. So big shout out, you know, to him to kind of end his senior year to be on All-State, you know, second place 4x8 team. So, and then the other one was, Raleigh Williams. You know, she came out this year.
This is her first time running.
Yeah, this is her first time running. You know, was a huge contributor to the team. You know, she was a hurdler, high jumper, long jumper, which – it's crazy to think she's going in very technical events, you know, not just, you know, a 55, which is still a technical event, but just have to really make sure. And she was very coachable. She did what she needed to do. By the end of the season, she had PR'd in the high jump, had PR'd in the long jump, and had PR'd in the hurdles. She's continuing to do outdoor season, which we're excited to have her. I think she'll be juggling between softball and track, but she wanted to stick with it.
Right.
So a big shout out to her for coming out and doing some really hard events and PRing for her first time ever competing in track and field.
Right.
And then, you know, also just kind of a staple in everything that I've been a part of and that I do, you know, Rhett Robbins, man. I know you know Rhett.
Yeah.
And what a great kid. What a just – if I could pick, and I love all these kids, but if I could pick one kid to be around, it's Rhett. And he brightens your day, makes you, you know, just makes you laugh. And so did a great job for us. Works hard all the time, whatever he's doing. And so, you know, obviously it's hard to talk because we still have him for outdoor.
Right.
So it's difficult to kind of figure out, you know, because you don't miss them yet because you still have them. But,
right.
You know, Rhett, man, he's there's going to be a hole when he's gone and everything that I'm involved in for sure.
Any final words?
Just really looking forward to outdoor season.
Thank you for having us, too, man.
Yeah,
thank you, Coach Elkins.
Congratulations to you guys. You know, like we mentioned earlier, region champions for the girls, state champions for the girls, region runner-up for the boys, region runner-up for the girls. And for people that don't understand how this works, for the boys, you were region runner-up to Virginia High. But at the state meet, you were region runner-up to somebody else because Virginia High wasn't even in, like, the top five or –
You know, I mean, we felt like the it kind of used to happen to us with Abingdon, you know, the numbers. Virginia High at the region meet kind of had more numbers than we did, especially placing in those – not the low places, but, the, you know, the fourth, fifth, sixth places.
Yes.
And
the low
and
point
I feel
places.
Like, for the most part, our point scores kind of remained where they were from region to state, same spot,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of got – some of their kids got phased out, and so – the level of competition got increased, and our kids still performed at that same level. Not saying anything negative about the Virginia High kids; they did a great job, and you know, kind of overwhelmed us at the region meet.
Yes,
and so we weren't expecting it to be that lopsided. We thought we really had a shot going in, and so they did a great job.
Yes, mm-hmm. And both teams were in the lead for a big part of the meet. I think the girls led all but just a couple of events. A couple of events, they ended up like 1 or 2 points behind and came right back.
Right.
I think when they put in shot put results maybe or something, it bumped them back in the front. I know the boys going into the final event, they were – was it third or tied for fourth?
Yeah, it was – you know, I think it was like it was 7 events, 8 events, 9 events scored, 10 events scored, and we were still at the top. And then I think after the three – might have been before that, Bruton kind of took the lead, and then they just kind of started –
Yeah.
increasing that lead. But
they pretty much had it locked in.
I think at one point, so Glenver was ahead by half a point going into the 300 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, but one of Glenver's, there were some other kids that really had some big performances that, you know, there were some really good 300 runners. And so we knew certain things had to happen, and that was the whole conversation was basically, you know, there was 12 people having a conversation about, well, if this happens and if that happens. And then we just said, you know what? If our boys get fourth in the 4x4, it doesn't matter what anybody else does.
Right.
And so that's the conversation that took place with them. And they were like, okay, well, we're just going to go control what we can control.
Right.
It doesn't matter what other people do.
I don't remember who the student was, but I was sitting in my classroom. We were watching it, and we were talking, you know, well, our boys are, and girls both, but toward the end, you know, the boys, we were like, they're sitting here. And this team doesn't really have anybody else that can score points, but our boys can still play second
because
they can jump a leapfrog these teams here.
So we knew Floyd was going to get a lot of points mm-hmm. in that 4x4, and so we had to make sure we were far enough ahead with our points that we were going to be able to score. So it was very important to get fifth place that they couldn't catch us even if they had won the 4x4.
Right. All right. Well, congratulations to you guys. State champions again, region champions. Look forward to outdoor season. Getting ready to start. Meet's coming up for the next week or so.
Yeah, Wednesday, the 25th is our first meet. It'll be our Lee All-Comers number one meet.
Okay, and then the Pepsi 5-Star Invitational April 11th.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If people want to come see these kids perform at a home meet, you know, of course, Big Stone's not that far up the road, mm-hmm. but some of the dates that you guys have for home meets are March 25th. We'll be at home. That's a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. You said April 11th. That's the Pepsi Invitational. That's at Lehigh on a Saturday.
Yeah.
The Invitational will start around
10:30.
Around 10:30. So if you want to come out and see the kids perform, and then there's a couple of meets later on in the season, I think, at home.
It's the last chance meet for sure.
Yeah.
May the
13th
on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. You know, and we would invite anyone, you know, who, you know, doesn't really understand the sport of track and field to come out and watch these kids. It is pretty cool to see, you know, you have kids jumping, you have kids hurdling, you have kids sprinting, you have, you know, your distance kids, you have your throwers, your high jumpers. It's a really spectacle to see all these kids, you know, be able to perform in these different things. So anyone who doesn't understand the sport of track and field, we invite you guys to come out and take a look and see these talented kids, you know, perform.
And if you want to see kids, you know, on some teams you see what you consider to be stars, they want people to look up to them. But if you want to see what would be considered the stars supporting these younger kids, you know, come to a track meet.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
They're out there supporting them. They're cheering them on. You know, they may have just won, come off indoor season as a state champion, but in this first meet, you're going to see them out there supporting these younger kids, trying to cheer them on and help them improve.
Right. And we have a group that they embody that. You know, they help not just encourage, but also the things that they've learned, whether mm-hmm. it be over just experience or from us or from you know, whatever it may be, and they want to try to help pass that on as well. Right. And so, and you know that there's so many times where it's good to have that older leadership to kind of yes. help guide, and you know, because you can't be everywhere. So, right. we have that.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really awesome to see that those leadership roles, and just the encouragement. You know, when you look at performances at the state level. You know, on both the boys and girls side, when you are at practice every day with some of those top performers in the state, what more can you ask for? I mean, you're competing right. against people that are right up there. So I think, you know, and it's a good competitive nature. I think everyone wants to do well. And I think having that mindset on the same team, knowing that, I think it pushes everyone in a good way. So it's awesome to see.
And one of the things that impresses me over the last 3 or 4 years is after the meet's over with and I'm packing my stuff up and I look out and your top quality athletes, your seniors, are out there helping you all as coaches put hurdles back up. They're not just saying, well, you're a freshman, you got to go help do this. Right. They're out there with the freshmen. They didn't just take off once their events were over with and go home mm-hmm. because they drive. They're out there helping put hurdles back up and helping take down streamers and ribbons and cover the high jump mats back up and, mm-hmm. and all this stuff and get the blocks put back away and make sure everything's put back up. You know, it's you have some sports where the seniors push the freshmen and say, hey, you got to do your turn. Mm-hmm. But here, they're out there with them doing that.
Yeah, I think it's just that appreciation of, you know, being able to host the meet and then what goes into hosting a meet. And then, you know, just setting again that example for those younger ones that, you know, the hard work that goes into it. So they are. They're a great group that I think once they leave for our juniors and even our sophomores that are moving up, they will be able to step in that role and be able to execute it just as well as our seniors that that are graduating this year.
And to add to that, you know, when they're out there cleaning these hurdles and stuff up, there's not a single person in the stands.
No.
There's nobody to impress, nobody to try to make an impression on other than their teammates mm-hmm. and their coaches.
Yeah.
That's the only people. There's nobody in the stands, you know. Like, it's not like it's during the meet where they're out there maybe helping rake a pit or something so they can be seen. There's nobody in the stands, mm-hmm. and they're still out there doing that.
Yeah, it's a great group of kids. We feel very blessed to be able to have the opportunity to be on this journey with them, and we're ready to go one more last time with them on this outdoor season.
Right. Well, good luck, and again, congratulations.
Thank you, Coach Elkins.
Thank you. Appreciate it.